Ah, here I am. Away we go. Let's do this. Good morning. Welcome into the program. Bill Ryder with you here on the Infinity Sports Network. Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day. Happy back to school day for all who celebrate. Celebrate in parentheses, quotation marks, dipped and dripped with sarcasm. Dipped and dripped with sarcasm. My kids are back to school. My wife's back to school. She's a librarian. Let's go. Welcome back to the real world. And in that real world, we have things to talk about. Fallout. Sadness. It feels like the first day of school in Indianapolis when you get assigned the wrong teacher. Because it turns out they don't really have a quarterback. And the reaction to Anthony Richardson, including from Anthony Richardson, that Daniel Jones will be the starter, is a case study in depression. And we're going to just luxuriate in that a little bit. In about 20 minutes. Adam Schefter on his podcast has weighed in on Micah Parsons. I mentioned this yesterday. I think I mentioned it. I certainly thought it. I know you can't read my mind. The Parsons hold-in, one of the three big ones in the NFL, has felt a little under the radar the last week or so because nothing's happening. But the nothing happening is the story. And it is another sign, a continued level of proof that the Cowboys are a hot damn mess. And we will hear some of the behind-the-scene realities and where it's heading. Again, about 20 minutes. We'll do start, bench, cut. We'll have Aaron Murray back on the show. Long time Georgia Bulldog cornerback. Does a great podcast. Media dude. Talk some college football on the show. Excited about that. We'll get into buy or sell. There are some minor controversies that we're going to hit over the course of the program. Phone number, of course, open to you. Toll free, 888-710-4 ISN, social media, sports writer, sports, R-E-I-T-E-R, and the good, the brave, the decent, Ryan underscore Hickey, number three, the executive producer of the show, is also around if you want to hang out with him. Look, Archmania is here. It is going to get ramped up under that spotlight in a week and a half. I don't think I have been more excited about a football game than Texas Ohio State in a really, really long time. And there's a long ways to go over the course of that season. That Texas team is the number one team in the country in the preseason poll, according to the Associated Press. They are dogs, by the way, on the road in Columbus. But that is a great football team. They have all the opportunities to have a stellar season. And their quarterback with the famous name and the golden arm and all the expectations is going to get the chance to show what he can do. He could win a Heisman this year or not. He could win a national championship this year or not. Regardless of what Arch Manning does this upcoming football season, he has got to stay in college another year. We're going to public service announcement this thing. And this isn't for you and for me. This isn't for Texas. I don't care about, no offense, Longhorns, that program. Arch Manning has to stay in college another season. And there's been some speculation out there that this could be the case. But I'm telling you, as the season goes on, and let's just lean into optimism today, okay? I know he could underperform. There's a world where he's not amazing. There's a world where he's really good, but not the level that is expected. And another year in college just becomes self-evident. But the more likely outcome for the latest Manning to play quarterback, the fourth Manning to play quarterback at a remarkably high level, and to be expected, along with his granddad and his uncles, to play at a remarkable level when he gets to the professional league of the National Football League. The fourth Manning, the guy with the talent, the guy that has the best team at least right now in America, is probably going to have a hell of a season. There's every reason to believe Arch is going to be really good, maybe exceptional. And that plus the buzz machine, the hype machine that always surrounds whoever the big storylines are, is going to increase the pressure every single week if it goes that way. The anticipation, the expectation, the craving, the need, the desire that he declare for the draft after the season at Texas. And it's going to come first and foremost with whatever football teams are a disaster, are a hot mess. Maybe it's the Colts. Maybe it's the Browns. Maybe it's the Saints. Who knows who it's going to be? Maybe it's the Giants. And some of those storylines have connections, so Arch will just increase that. Don't give in. Don't do it. Stay. And look, Arch doesn't give a lot away here, but we always think quarterbacks, radio hosts, principals, Star Wars experts like Ryan, everybody out there always thinks that their success is forever. that what's going well is a sign of their greatness or their hard work or their inevitability or just who they are. It's hard to foresee failure when you're at what feels like the peak of your powers. And that is the thing that Arch Manning has got to push against if he plays at a really high level this year, if he can be, if he is able to be, if he so chooses, the top quarterback or even the top pick in the NFL draft. He's got to just push down that sense of inevitability of success because it tends to go the other way. His grandfather, for whom he is named, who was an amazing, amazing quarterback, the father, obviously, of Peyton and Eli, said the other day that he thought it wasn't impossible, right? This wasn't a declaration of certainty, but just said it's not impossible that Arch could stay at Texas for another year. And that tracks, right? That makes sense. Arch has been incredibly patient to wait for his opportunity to be the starter at Texas. In a time where guys transfer because the coach hurts their feelings in a meeting, Arch Manning sticking around when he couldn't get that gig and having the patience to wait for his opportunity shows that he's able to play the long-term game a little bit. It's a good sign. But again, that temptation of success, it's gotten people before. And yesterday, Arch talked to the media, was talking to folks, and while he doesn't give a lot away here, and he makes a joke about his granddad, which is kind of funny, right? He keeps this young QB, this phenom, his cards close to the vest. It got my worry antenna up that he didn't automatically reject the idea, just as a PR stunt, of going to the draft after this season.
Yeah, I don't know where he got that from. He texted me and apologized about that, but I'm really just taking it day by day right now.
Again, I know that's not, I'm going. Get out of here, losers. I'm a star. But whether it's a dude in college contemplating the NFL, whether it's a player under contract that's a professional contemplating another team, normally the answer is, I mean, I haven't thought about it. I'm taking it day by day, but all I've ever wanted to be is insert the starter at Texas, and this is what I want to do. Don't do it. Don't do it. There's a case study here, and we've talked about this, but let me fire this back up for you. There is a case study. There is a history in modern football. Let's go all the way back to 2014. Let's do the last 11 years. That will encompass the game in its entirety as it is today. As the reality of football, the focus on quarterback play, and we discuss all the time, and we should, that the need for a quarterback is absolute. And the inability to have, train, retain, scout, draft, sign, whatever, a great quarterback limits your ability to be great in the National Football League. See the Steelers with Aaron Rodgers. See the success of the Kansas City Chiefs. See the patience that Josh Allen was afforded and how successful that's been, relatively speaking, in Buffalo. See the question marks about Caleb Williams. See the questions about C.J. Stroud in year three. On and on. It's about the quarterback. I know there's other things. It's about the quarterback. And that pressure, that intensity, that focus means that teams, in their desperation to succeed, will be desperate in their willingness to bring in quarterbacks and put them in positions to fail. And do you know who suffers from that? The quarterbacks do. Since 2014, here are the list of quarterbacks who, if Arch Manning is drafted this year, he'll fit this category. If he goes into the draft after this season, the quarterbacks who have played, started only a single season at the college level, jump to the NFL, that lack of experience, and been drafted in the first round. Anthony Richardson, who just lost his starting job, whose career seems in danger, who's another example for the Colts. They just can't find the QB that is post, you know, ironically, this guy called Manning. There's a lot of them out there. It's the Peyton variety. Drafted fourth overall in his draft. Trey Lance. That guy, punchline now. It's quarterback Russian roulette. It's hard to even know where he's playing day to day. That guy was drafted with the number three pick by a Kyle Shanahan team. And if Kyle Shanahan can't make you successful, Brock Purdy fans, nobody can. That need, that desire. I mean, you're Trey Lance, right? And the Niners want you. And Kyle Shanahan thinks you're the quarterback of the future for his genius system. Of course you're going to jump. Arch, don't listen to the siren song of the National Football League. Mac Jones, 15. Drafted 15. Had a good year first year. Fairness, Patriots didn't think they needed an offensive coordinator in year two. Dwayne Haskins, may he rest in peace, was a quarterback taken in the first round. Mitch Trubisky was drafted ahead of Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. Number two overall. These are all failures from a professional perspective. The only person who might be a success, and if I'm Arch Manning, I don't want this career. We discussed what is a failure or success last year. The person, the biggest example, the shiniest example, the best example that I'm going to give you is a guy that won a Heisman Trophy. That's something Arch could do. And if he wins the Heisman, it's going to be really tempting to just leave, right? You have the height of your powers. This person was drafted number one overall. If Arch is likely to be drafted number one overall, which seems possible, not sure where was that sort of a year ago, so things can change. This guy would be the sort of the right comp is Kyler Murray. Has Kyler Murray succeeded? Not by the standards that are possible or expected or hoped for. Look, Arch Manning's not going to want for money. If he stays at Texas for another year, especially if he has a good year, right? If he has a choice and he stays at Texas, he's not going to do it for books, tuition, and crappy dorm food. That's not how that works anymore. Probably never worked that way anyway. He's going to make a bunch of NIL money. And if he makes the jump to the NFL and he's number one overall or number two overall, even if he doesn't succeed, he's going to make money. It's not about money. So saying, oh, Kyler Murray made a bunch of money is not the standard. Kyler Murray is the only person on that list that I just gave you since 2014 who, like Arch Manning, if he only plays 1 year as a starter at Texas, the only QB that played 1 year in college as a starter and got drafted in the first round, only Kyler Murray still has a starting job in the National Football League. And he's an also-ran. He's a, he's the 15th best quarterback in the NFL, maybe. Don't do it. And the temptation, the pressure, the need, the hope to go. And Arch Manning seems to have a good head on his shoulders. The Manning family has a history of being resolute and managing their careers in a really smart way, and I hope that that lends itself to Arch not making the mistake of wanting to go. If Texas beats Ohio State in a week and a half, and that's not impossible. I know they're dogs. I know the game's on the road for Texas. If the number one team in America wins their opening game against Ohio State, do you know how loud the calls are going to be of Arch's success that's inevitable in the National Football League? I'll go further. If they lose to Ohio State, but Arch puts up four or five touchdowns and looks amazing, I'll go to another guy. He wasn't drafted after only 1 year starting. But if, like, Johnny Manziel level, because at A&M, Johnny often would play amazing against the top teams in the country, and then his team would lose because their defense wasn't very good. Even if Arch is great and Texas somehow loses, the calls for Arch Manning's inevitable greatness, the number one pick, the way that fans of the Browns and the Saints and the Giants and the Jets and the Colts, Ryan, I'm sorry, and other teams who could be the number one pick, could have the worst record, will be licking their chops. It's going to be so overwhelming. Don't do it. Don't do it. And there's connections to some of those would-be bad NFL teams. The Haslam family, who were the first to really kind of float, the owner of the Browns, to really float this expectation that, well, Arch could probably play another year in college. The first time we all kind of go, really? Wow, that's amazing. Because I thought he'd go out in a year too. It's because the Haslams are really close to the Mannings. So there's a connection there. The Saints, that's the home base. That's the hometown for Arch. And those of you that know, New Orleans is kind of in that part of the world, Mississippi, Tennessee a little further. It's kind of the big cultural center for that part of the South, right? That part of the country. So there'd be this pull for the Saints, and it's Arch's hometown. The Giants, obviously, are where his uncle played, and the Jets are just a disaster waiting to happen, so I don't really have a connection there. But those first three, there's going to be a pull. Arch Manning, I hope, is sensational. I want guys to be successful. I want guys to, in the world, I watch sports to watch success, not to watch failure. I want greatness, and I hope Arch is amazing. It would be awesome if Arch comes out. What a story it's going to be. And after years of patience, which can be interpreted as, and maybe it is, humility and a good head on his shoulders and this golden arm and the tradition and the legacy of the Mannings, but also the stewardship of those people, the mentorship, the ability to handle all this pressure. And he's incredible. Great. That doesn't guarantee success in the National Football League. He can be great at Texas. Arch Manning can win the Heisman. He can beat Ohio State in a week and a half. He can win a national championship. He can do all of the above, and he can easily fail in the National Football League. especially if he only gives himself 1 year as a starter in college. Because Bryce Young was a pretty good quarterback, and that guy is a question mark as to whether he's going to make it in the league. Trevor Lawrence has not succeeded. By the way, these are guys who did have multiple years. I'm just highlighting how hard it is to succeed when you're a sure thing. Trevor Lawrence is the surest thing in the National Football League since Andrew Luck. There's the Colts again. And he didn't make it. Kyler Murray's a guy. Didn't make it. Jameis Winston was. These are all number one overall picks, by the way. I'm just picking the guys that went number one overall. I could give you 30 names if you wanted me to that are the third pick, the 15th pick, the 28th pick, whatever. Jameis Winston. By the way, Marcus Mariota, remember? He was number two. He was also a who's it going to be? The answer was neither. Sam Bradford. I'm going kind of the Wayback Machine here. Did Bradford win a Heisman in Oklahoma? He did. Jamarcus Russell. I'm going to stop there. It's sad. There's no guarantee of success. If Arch does everything right, if Arch is the right guy, if he has the right head on his shoulders, everything, he still can fail. And the way that you minimize that, the way you maximize the opportunity to be great, is do what your Uncle Eli did, or your Uncle Peyton did. Peyton went back to Tennessee in 97 when the Jets had the number one overall pick and took another year in college in a bit of a shocker. That time is critical to trying to increase the odds, not guarantee them that you're going to make it. So Archmania is here. It's going to go. It's going to be 100,000 times more intense in a week and a half. I think Texas can win that game. And I am very optimistic Archmania is going to be amazing. Because sometimes now, I think in our society, the way things work, the hype doesn't always live up to the expectation. But sometimes it does. See Shohei Ohtani. See LeBron James. See Lamine Yamal. Through a little soccer for you. Most of you don't even know who that is. It's fine. Barcelona. I think Arch is going to be incredible. And I'm telling you that the pressure, the expectation, the feeling of absolute certainty that he is going to do the same things in the NFL is going to kick in. And it's going to be intoxicating and seductive and a mistake. Okay, so Arch says, Grandpa, shouldn't have done that. I don't know. I'm not thinking about it. Do think about it. Stay at Texas. Be there 2 years. Enjoy college. Develop as a quarterback. Succeed when you get to the NFL, or at least increase your odds so you're not Trevor Lawrence or Anthony Richardson or, God help me, Mitch Trubisky or Kyler Murray or Sam Bradford or any of these other guys that did not make it. All right. Come on, Arch. I'm rooting for you. But this will be the first year in my lifetime I'm rooting for Texas, by the way. And again, no disrespect to Texas. I don't root against them, per se. I didn't even root for them in the Vince Young game. I don't know why. I just didn't. But I want them to succeed because I want that player, that quarterback with that name to be somebody that we get to watch and enjoy and talk about for 10 years. And the most likely way for that to happen is if we're talking about him a year from now in his final year as a Texas starter in college. 888-710-4ISN. You tell me. Am I crazy? Am I wrong? Should Arch go to the NFL right now? 888-710-4ISN. Give me a call if you want. We'll talk some QB play. And I'm just going to get into the other side of this. I'm going to give you an example of what it looks like when certainty becomes failure, when success becomes horror, when the number 5 pick in an NFL draft, who has a relatively nice start, first couple games of their career, becomes a punchline in his own locker room and has to talk about it. That's next year on Writer Than You.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast. Welcome back to Writer Than You.
Ryan's going to put my feet to the fire here, which is a terrible expression, by the way. Why would you feet to the fire? Where does that come from? Why would your feet be on the fire? Who's holding feet to the fire back in history that leads to that being an expression?
Bullies.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know.
Bullies.
The stronger man.
Caveman bullies.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
I mean, can you imagine back in the day? Give me your woolly mammoth. No, hold his feet down. Okay. An expression lived through the ages. Bill Ryder with you. That's the kind of magic you get on National Radio Day. Happy National Radio Day. By the way, I hope you can tell, I love radio. I do. I really do. I write for a living, sort of, and I talk on TV for a living, and I do radio for a living, and the other two jobs are great. They're fine. I'm not complaining. I'm very grateful for the opportunities. I love radio, and I'm thrilled that you're listening. I appreciate you hanging out. Obviously, a couple ways to do that. You can do it live on whatever affiliate is carrying us. We're very appreciative of that. Thank you to the program directors and the audience for making that happen. You can listen for free Huh? Free 99? Which never made sense. Isn't that 99 cents? For free 99 on the free Odyssey app, just go to your app store and download the Odyssey app. And, of course, you can listen on the podcast version later. Free Odyssey app does that. But wherever you get podcasts, you can do that. And it doesn't have to be National Radio Day for you to be a part of the show. But on this day, let me take the time to thank you in a busy world with too much stuff going on and a lot of choices for choosing to let us hang out with you and come into your world. Phone number is 888-710-4ISN. And I hope somebody caveman bully style holds Arch's feet to the fire, Arch Manning, and doesn't let him or allow him or allow him to be convinced to go to the NFL, regardless of success after this season. Give it some time to percolate, right? Let your success be more likely to be inevitable with a little bit of patience, which is something that the Manning family's always done an amazing, amazing job with. I'm not saying that Anthony Richardson was likely to be the greatest quarterback of all time, but certainly the Colts thought he was going to be very, very good. Very, very good. Number four overall pick, and Ryan Hickey's here. Good morning, Ryan. Happy National Radio Day.
Good morning, Bill. Happy National Radio Day to you as well.
You're a Colts fan. You're irrational. I love that about you. Good morning.
You said I'm rational or irrational?
No, irrational.
Oh, that's fair.
Not rational.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. My memory of Anthony Richardson, and I have not looked this up, and I've said it every day for the last 3 days, so let's see if I got this right. My memory is his rookie year he got hurt, but I think he played the first couple games. And in my memory, he played really well. I'm not saying he was Patrick Mahomes. I just remember thinking, oh, this guy could be good. This guy's athletic and has an arm, and there's something here. Is that your recollection as a Colts fan?
Yes. It was, yeah. I think, like the numbers exactly, like 7 touchdowns of 3 turnovers. So it's okay. Like
the opposite of Peyton Manning in a Super Bowl run.
That is correct. Yeah. Some would say yes. So that's
some would say. I think history says that.
Well, the history books, sure, they do say that. So that could, yes, there was early promise that maybe this right. is something.
So fast forward to yesterday when Colts players were available and they had to answer questions about Anthony Richardson not having the job. And he didn't just lose the job. He lost the job to Daniel Jones. There's being the anointed cornerback and having a lot of opportunities and not being good enough. And that's not awesome if you're that player, that team. And then there is all of that, but losing the job to Daniel Jones. That is another layer of injury to insult. And Shane Steichen, who is your guy, Ryan, your guru, do you like him?
I do like him.
Okay. Head coach of the Colts. had to explain why Daniel Jones, not Anthony Richardson.
Really the operation at the line of scrimmage, the checks, the protection, the ball placement, the completion percentage, I think all that played a factor in it. I think Daniel did a great job doing that, and I think AR has made strides in that area, but I do feel that, you know, he still needs to continue to develop in those areas.
Shane be saying, this guy sucks at quarterback, as nicely as he can. This is Shane Steichen talking about why the decision went the way that it went. The equivalent of you saying to your girlfriend, your recently ex-girlfriend, whoever you are, maybe it's me, why did you break up with me? And her saying, well, you're ugly, and your breath smells, and you're not funny, and you're totally not interesting, and I'm not even attracted to you, and I think you're stupid, and I hate everything about you. But you really put in some effort. That's what that was. Luckily, that hasn't happened to me in completion of the list. There's certainly been a couple. I feel bad for Anthony Richardson. And this the big takeaway to me is, and we know this, every year one of my remarkable pet peeves about the NFL draft is the sense of inevitability that everyone speaks with. And I've done this too. By the way, I've gotten stuff wrong. It wasn't a draft thing, but see my Jalen Brunson clip that's out there. Because people that do what I do for a living, most of them are cowards. And in social media era, don't want to have a clip of them looking stupid, even if they're smart 99 other times. I don't care. You can make fun of me. It's fine. You can tell me my breath smells or I'm stupid or break up with me, however you want. I'll live with it. the reality is that most players at the quarterback position don't succeed in the National Football League. The reality is when the NFL draft or any draft rolls around, a lot of those guys aren't going to make it. And the reality is, I think too many fans who buy into this optimism, and I get it, who wants to go through life being a miserable pessimist? Well, I just thought of some former colleagues. But anyway, who wants to do that? Nobody. But Anthony Richardson's outcome isn't a surprise, even if it's a total bummer, which goes back to my Arch Manning warning. Trevor Lawrence can't succeed. Trevor Lawrence can fail, I should say. Anybody can. Anybody can. And, you know, poor Anthony Richardson, part of the reality of this job is that when you fail, you are required to go with a microphone in your face and explain why you are no longer the quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts.
You got to respect the decision. You know, they feel like he's a better fit for the team, better fit for the outcome of us winning. So you just got to respect it and just keep working. You know, that doesn't undermine any other work I've been putting in. Doesn't say that I haven't improved. You know, I'm proud of the improvement I've made. Shane is also proud of that. So you just got to keep stacking on that and just keep getting better.
I'm not trying to kick him while he's down. What else are you going to say? But yes, it does say all those things. I mean, you're wrong. It does undermine those things. I'm going to play this next clip from Quentin Nelson, because Quentin, offensive lineman for the Colts, has shown a schism between me and Ryan Hickey.
I think I'd be lying if I said it wasn't. You know, you look around the league and see just like the consistency of having a, like Patrick Mahomes or like a quarterback behind you that's like been the franchise player for years and years and years, and getting to build that chemistry with that quarterback year after year is something that there is an advantage to.
Breaking news! The offensive lineman of the Colts wishes they had Patrick Mahomes. Ryan tried to push back and say this is very rational. I mean, come on. What kind of a clip is that? I wish we had the consistency of Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, I wish I had the consistency of Scarlett Johansson. What are we saying here?
What if you had a new producer every year? That next May, I'm gone, and someone else comes in. The following after that, they're gone.
I would say that I would like a more consistent producer. I wouldn't say, man, I wish we could get a consistent producer like Adam Klug, who was a pretty mate, right? Like,
he's
Adam
great.
Klug is the Patrick Mahomes in this conversation.
But he used him as an example. He said a franchise guy. He wants someone there every year.
Dude.
It helps him.
Kyler Murray's consistently been there. Tua's been consistently been there. Why didn't he cite those guys?
And for an offensive lineman, I'm sure that consistency
Come on.
Makes his job better.
I really wish we had consistency. How about Patrick Mahomes? Oh, you cracked the code. You're right. We'll just have your front office do that.
The Colts have had 8 different starting quarterbacks in the last 9 years.
Then don't say Patrick Mahomes is your magical. He's not
That's
wrong.
A problem.
I wish we had, you know, like Patrick. Well, here's a little news for you, Quentin. The Chiefs are able to have consistent quarterback play because they have Patrick Mahomes. Anyway, it annoyed me. I feel bad for Colts fans. Because here's the other thing. Daniel Jones isn't good at quarterback either. He's not a good football player either. This is not, and maybe we're wrong. This was easy to say this about Sam Darnold last year. Maybe there's no, I don't believe what I'm saying to you. It's National Radio Day, and I'm trying to be optimistic, but I just feel like I'm lying to me and to you. Daniel Jones sucks, okay? And that's the way it's going to be. That's how bad Anthony Richardson is in the eyes of the people in Indianapolis who were invested in and needed his success. Brutal. Don't draft quarterbacks who haven't started more than a year in college. And in the same token, I already said this, I'm going to say it again, some truths must be said over and over. Don't play, if you have the choice, only a single season as a starter at quarterback in college, if you can plan and want to play and succeed in the National Football League. Anthony Richardson's success in that way, his career as a success, is over. All right, 888-710-4ISN. That's the phone number. This morning, I made an offhanded comment to Ryan, like, Mahomes, and Ryan went bonkers. This is totally rational. Ah, Colts! Is that a fair telling or no? On
with
National
like
Radio Day?
10 more expletives and 10
Kyle
octaves
Murray,
higher.
Writer. Yeah. All right, let's do a little, I love this segment. It's start, bench, cut. Ryan's going to put me to a real test. Yeah, I didn't know where to go with it. Let's cut that. Let's cut that one. That's our bench cut coming up after a sports flash from Gordon Damer.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Phil, this Sports Flash is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. Blue Jays leading the AL East by 5 games over the suddenly hot again New York Yankees. Jays wrap up their set against the Pirates this afternoon. Still waiting to see if Vlad Guerrero will return to the lineup. He's been listed as day-to-day with hamstring inflammation. Jays and Pirates get underway 12:30 Eastern time. Tonight, it's the Brewers and Cubs. They'll wrap up their series at Wrigley. Brewers swept in a doubleheader yesterday, just the second time since July 4th that Pat Murphy's team has lost 2 in a row.
They're disappointed that they didn't come out on top, but they also know that they're going to keep fighting. That's how they play. Injuries, adversity, all the stuff we faced all year. You know, this is bound to happen. You know what I mean? It's bound to happen.
From the NFL, Dolphins have activated Darren Waller off the physically unable to perform list. Titans corner Legarius Sneed passed his physical. He'll be at practice today for Tennessee. I'm Gordon Damer.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast. Welcome back to Writer Than You.
Nothing pisses me off more than like, oh man, you a Barcelona fan? You a Cubs fan? Oh, you're a Bears fan? No man, I just like the hat. Well, take it off. And shut your mouth.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
Oh, wow. So today's National Radio Day. Last week was National, or yesterday was National I'm Fired Up Day about the hat thing. I went with Shut Your Mouth.
Shut Your Mouth.
Wow. You shut your mouth when you're talking to me. Can you name that film?
Wedding Crashers.
Oh, man. You completely redeemed yourself.
That's a great movie.
Great, great movie. All right, 888-710-4ISN. Let's take one of the phone calls that are on the line. We're going in order, so if you're on hold, just stick with us. If you want to call in and get in line, 888-710-4ISN, because Ryan, this is true this time. Sometimes I kid. Said this is the most excited he's ever been about Start Bench Cut. Is that true?
That is true.
All right, so we're going to get to that in a second after we hang out here in L.A. with David. David, appreciate you, buddy. You're on Writer Than You.
Hey, Bill, thank you so much for taking my call. Just want to weigh in on the situation over in Indianapolis here. So, for me, both Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones are what I like to call double disappointments. These are players who were taken way too high in the draft compared to where they should have landed. And even at the time they were drafted, we were either scratching our heads or saying, nah, their careers are not going to work out. I mean, with Daniel Jones, he wasn't even projected to be a first rounder. The Giants took him, what, sixth overall. Anthony Richardson came out of college, and he only played a small handful of games, and we're thinking he's going to be the next franchise quarterback. That's a little bit too little to fall back on with him. So, you know, for me, they're both double disappointments, which is different from being a bust, because a bust is somebody we expected to be good. It turned out they weren't. Now, I will say this, though, just to leave with a little bit of optimism. Anthony Richardson's career looks like, at this moment, that it's about to flame out. But there might be a little bit of a light at the end of a tunnel, because I like to draw a parallel to something that happened about 20 years ago. Recall in Seattle, when Mike Holmgren thought Matt Hasselbeck was the guy, and for the first couple of years, Matt Hasselbeck was a disappointment. Holmgren brings in Trent Dilfer, names him the starter. Dilfer gets hurt, and then it wasn't until then that Hasselbeck's career took off. Now, am I saying Anthony Richardson will be the next Matt Hasselbeck? No. But am I saying there is a slight possibility? Yes.
Dude, I love the optimism. It's a great counterpoint. Thank you for the call. I hope you're right and that I'm wrong. I really do. And there's evidence for this. Sam Darnold is an example. There's plenty of guys you can point to. Baker Mayfield might be the best example of all. Sometimes you forget that both Baker and Darnold ended up in Carolina and didn't succeed. Weren't good enough there. Didn't make it there. Maybe Carolina's the problem. Ask Bryce Young. Great phone call. David, thank you for hanging out with us here on Writer Than You. I'm very excited. So is he. It's time. He's fired up. Starch? That's laundry. Let's do it again. And has your radio day. Start Bench Cut. Oh, my God.
It's Start Bench Cut on Writer Than You.
With Ryan Bill Ryder, who can't talk.
I was going to try to have like a laundry pun there, but nothing was coming about too quickly.
Let's put this in the wash cycle.
Well, all right, Bill. Here's what I'm going to do. I think I have two questions that I'm most excited for that we can have a lot of fun with. I'll do one now. I'll save one for the end.
Okay.
So, in college football, this week, BYU named Bear Bachmeyer their starting quarterback.
Okay, Bear, that's a great name. Bear right? Bachmeyer.
Bear
okay.
Bachmeyer. So, with that great name, start, bench, cut, these names of college football players we will see on the field this season.
Okay.
Mo Billity.
Oh.
Who's a wide receiver for Rice.
I give mobility. That's what his parents are. Okay.
Chief Borders. Wow. Defensive lineman for UNLV.
Okay.
And Rocky Beers, tight end, Colorado State.
This is the most difficult question I've ever been asked.
Let's go.
I'm just going to dive right in. I'm going to start Rocky Beers. I'm going to bench mobility because I love a wordplay. Wouldn't want it every day of my life, but all right. And I'm going to reluctantly and sadly, but with stern confidence, cut Chief Borders. Those are great names.
And it's also great, too. I feel like the names fit the positions. Mobility, receiver. Rocky Beers. That feels like a tight end name, right? Kind of like a George Kittle, maybe Travis Kelce kind of in that
yeah.
flow. Chief Borders, defensive line, kind of, you know, run the line of scrimmage, secure the border. This is A+.
So, that's A+ work from moms and dads of those three people.
Mobility, spelled M-O-H. That's great.
I mean, your last name is Billity. I guess you have a lot of options.
You have to, right?
Why not name the guy like Aaron and then just go by A? Oh, it's A-Billity.
Maybe that's his dad's name.
Maybe it is.
All right.
You really like that.
I do.
It's really funny. It's really funny.
Oh, I do. Start, bench, cut. These quarterbacks you want starting for your team this year. Daniel okay. Jones.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers.
Wow.
Justin Fields.
I mean, I'm going to start Justin Fields. I'm actually cautiously optimistic that he can dry off his career. See, there I'm using laundry, but yeah. I think Justin Fields has a chance to be good. This tells you how little I believe in Daniel Jones. I will go next up. I will bench in this Aaron Rodgers. And I don't want Aaron Rodgers anywhere near my team. And I'm going to cut Daniel Jones, which the Colts would like to do if it wasn't Anthony Richardson who was their other option.
Speaking of him, maybe we could say these quarterbacks were left out to dry. Start, bench, cut. These draft busts. Anthony Richardson, Trey Lance, Zach Wilson.
Oh, that's a great question. Where does Zach Wilson go to?
Two. 2, 3, 4. Zach Wilson 2, Trey Lance 3, Anthony Richardson 4.
I'm going to start Trey Lance. I think Trey Lance is the biggest bust, and I think it's because of the a lot of these guys fail because of where they go. That is not true for Trey Lance. Niners.
Very true.
All those weapons.
Right, that was the best situation. Maybe any top 5 quarterback has gone in. Maybe ever?
I mean, look, I do think that a comparable, maybe even better position was Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and a very suitable Alex Smith, who was really good and took the pressure off, but they weren't married to him. But yes, I think as good a situation as Mahomes. I'll, biggest busts. Next up as a bust, so bench Anthony Richardson because the Colts weren't a disaster. They're actually pretty well run outside of cornerback. And I'll cut Zach Wilson. He was the highest draft pick, but he went to the most likely place to mess up his career.
So if we look at college football this year, Bill, a lot of teams in the top 10 have new faces at quarterback this year making their debut. Texas right with Arch Manning, Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, Notre Dame, Oregon. Big-time schools, big-time expectations with inexperienced quarterbacks. So start, bench, cut these quarterbacks in terms of the most pressure you think is on them to succeed this season. Is it Julian Sain of Ohio State, Ty Simpson of Alabama, and CJ Carr of Notre Dame? Who has the most pressure here to succeed?
By the way, Sain's a great last name.
It is
I'm just
name.
Saying. Who are you? I'm just saying. Who's on first? I am going to start saying is the most pressure. I think in Ohio, there's a couple things. One, they're the defending champions, and fans are never rational coming off a season like that. See Michigan last year. Two, they still haven't beaten Michigan in a minute. And so if the season doesn't go the way that Ohio State wants, if they lose to Texas and they slip up a little bit, there is going to be almost national championship-level pressure on that game against Michigan later in the year. So I just think the duality of what they want to accomplish and if they don't, what they expect in that Michigan game is going to put massive pressure on him. I'll go next up. I'll bench CJ Carr. Doesn't it just feel like if you're a Notre Dame quarterback, you're always under massive pressure? And I'm gonna cut Simpson. And I know that there's pressure there. I don't get me wrong. I just think there's a lot more pressure on the coach. I think all the pressure and all the struggles in Alabama this year are going to be about why isn't this guy Nick Saban if things don't go well. I think he'll shield a lot of that.
Two more here, since you are quite the pop culture aficionado. Star
Thank
French
you.
Cut.
Yes.
Movies, TV yep. shows, documentaries. Documentaries.
Super easy. What are they called?
I always go back. Is it documentaries?
Yes.
Okay.
Did you say documentaries?
Yeah. I got my own head there for a second.
It's okay.
I never said that.
I couldn't. I went with starch over start. So this is a no judgment zone today, which is rare. I'm going to start. It's easy. Start TV shows. We're in the golden era of television. I'm gonna bench movies. I think I'm kind of back on the movie train a little bit. There's been better ones. I've been going to the theater, a place you haven't been in your lifetime. You've never stepped foot in one. So that's a disagreement you and I have. And I'm going to cut. I'm just not into documentaries.
That was good.
Thank you. I know they're great and people swear by them and I'm always getting recommendations. I got enough real world in my real world. You know, I kind of like escapism a little bit.
All right, last load of laundry here. This is interesting. Klay Thompson is on social media raving about a dish his girlfriend, as a reminder, he is dating Meg Thee Stallion.
I would rave about anything she said.
Maybe that's why he's doing this.
I eat raw worms. Cool. I'm in. Anyway, please continue.
Because the great dish that she makes that he loves is catfish and spaghetti.
Okay.
Hell of a combo. So let's start, bench, cut these food combos. Catfish and spaghetti.
Right.
Chicken parm and beans.
Yep.
Tacos and clam chowder.
I mean, I'll start chicken parm and beans because yes. Let me ask you a question. Is Megan Thee Stallion making this for me? Because then I'm into anything. No?
No. Make this objective. This is just, you go to a restaurant.
Understood.
These are the three options on the menu. That's it. You can't walk out and leave.
I'm actually kind of here to try catfish and spaghetti. Are they mixing it together?
Yes.
The catfish is mixed.
The spaghetti.
But is it mixed in or is it just on top?
On top. Well, like, you know, you cut it. Yeah, it's like a chicken parm. You put it on top, you cut it, you eat it with it.
I can roll with that. I can do that. And beans and tacos and clam chowder, tacos and clam chowder, there's no chance. Ever. I had a college girlfriend who was not unattractive, who came to my house once and made me crab legs, and they were awful. And I ate all of them.
That's such a random and difficult meal.
She's
to
like,
make.
Oh, I'm such a good chef. I want to come on. I'm like, you can go. Yes. She could have said, I want to make you fried raccoon. Or whatever. I love roadkill. Yes. Come on over. My roommate's out of town. I would love you to make me dinner. That would be awesome. So I understand where Clay's coming from. That's all I'm saying. I get it. Let's get it going with Aaron Murray next here on Writer Than You.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, good morning. Welcome into the show on this Wednesday. Bill Ryder with you. We've got buy or sell coming up in 20 minutes. We're going to circle back to something I just said about Aaron Rodgers. One of our loyal listeners pushed back a little bit, and it sparked, I think, an interesting possible conversation. So we'll bring that out maybe at the end of the show. As always, the phone number on the program, if you want to call, like David in L.A. did, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4ISN. ISN, social media, sports writer, sports, R-E-I-T-E-R, Ryan_Hickey, and the number 3. If you want to reach the executive producer, remember today is National Radio Day, so happy National Radio Day. And we are very lucky to be joined now by Aaron Murray, SiriusXM and ESPN college football analyst. As you probably know, played quarterback for Georgia from 2010 to 2013, still leads the SEC in career passing yards, career passing touchdowns, member of the Chiefs, Cardinals, Eagles, Rams, and on social media at Aaron Murray 11. Mr. Murray, good morning. Thanks for making time, man.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning. We've made it to the end. We're here on game week, week zero, which is still, I don't know how long we've been calling it week zero. I'm still a little bit flabbergasted by that. We just call it week one because it's football going on, but nonetheless, we got football this weekend that actually means something, so it's that good time of year.
We are here. We're through the summer. Thank God, unless you're my kids and my wife who all went back to school today, but that's the way it goes. Aaron, let me ask you this about Arch Manning, and we can sort of take this convo any way you want, but I'm curious how much you feel like, based on what you've seen and what you know, you think you have a good sense of what Arch Manning can actually accomplish this year?
I think Arch Manning's a good quarterback. I think he's a real good quarterback. I think if you look at the SEC right now, I struggle to say that he is the most gifted, the most talented, the Heisman front runner, the first round draft pick for 2026, all that. Like, we haven't seen enough of Arch against good competition to really crown him yet, where I can go to numerous players at the quarterback position and say, hey, I've seen this guy play. I've seen him play more than just a couple games. I've seen him play an SEC schedule. I've seen him have success. I can kind of guess and understand that, hey, year two for this quarterback is going to be even better than it was last year, which kind of even gives me more confidence in that guy. You know, Garrett Nussbaum at LSU, Lenore Sellers at South Carolina, DJ Lagway at Florida, who I think is the most talented quarterback, most gifted quarterback maybe in all of college football. I mean, those are three guys right there that have more playing time, are just as gifted, if not more gifted than Arch. The one thing that Arch does have on his side is, one, he is a good quarterback. Whenever I get in this conversation, I always struggle because people always I walk away feeling like, you know, I'm hating on Arch, or people think I'm not cheering for him. I have a good relationship with the Mannings. I think he's a tremendous quarterback. So let me continue to say that with the caveat of I need to see him do it. And I need to see him do it week one versus Ohio State and then just keep getting better and better and better and better. But going back to the original point a couple seconds ago, he is with Sarkisian. I do believe Steve Sarkisian is one of the top two play callers, offensive minds in college football. Him and Lane Kiffin, I think, are kind of in that, you know, tier one, maybe to themselves right now, when you kind of study the tape and watch what they're able to do and able to generate yards from a quarterback perspective. So he's got the play caller. He's got the talent around him. And he's got, you know, one of the best teams in America. So I think you put all that in with a talented quarterback, then we're talking about, okay, if he does develop throughout the season, we could get to that point. But to say right now, before the first game, the first ball snap against a legitimate defense, that he's the best quarterback in the SEC, I just can't say because I haven't seen it yet.
Aaron Murray, I know that game is not this weekend. It's a week and a half away. But I'm curious, because Ohio State has an untested, unproven quarterback as well. And we've got the number one team in the country in Texas, but Ohio State's at home, and they're favored, right? The folks in Vegas, who are pretty smart, think it's going to be Ohio State. Do you have a clear sense in either direction who you think wins that football game?
I mean, Julian Sain, from people I've talked to close to the program, they absolutely love this kid. They're very excited about it. You know, they were excited about him a year ago. They're excited about him now, and obviously he has elite targets to throw to around him. So I think the offense should be in good hands. You know, obviously lines of scrimmage, especially on defense, that is a little bit of a question mark right now for Ohio State, but you know, you get the best defensive player in America in Caleb Downs. So, you know, I think they are deserving of being both ranked inside the top five. I really don't know who is the best team in college football this year. I think it's wide open, honestly. Like, there is, you know, 10, maybe 10 plus teams that I think I could make a case to win national championship. And hell, I think, honestly, if I had to do my top 25, I'd probably put Clemson one. But, you know, both are very equal when it comes to who they have and you know, obviously young quarterbacks. You know, Texas has to replace a lot of the line of scrimmage on both sides, offensive line and defensive line. You know, going on the road with all the hype into the defending national champs, it's going to be very tough for Arch to go out there and have a big-time game. So I think it's close. I don't know exactly what the spread is for Vegas. You know, I would kind of put it within, you know, obviously, a field goal. I think Ohio State squeaks it out, mostly because of the home field advantage. But, you know, it takes nothing away from Texas. You know, you lose a close game on the road to the defending champs. You know, if Arch looks even, you know, remotely good in that game, I think Texas should feel really confident the rest of the season. Obviously, then you have to circle that big game on the road versus Georgia as another big-time test that, you know, hopefully has a little bit more confidence come that round.
Talking to Aaron Murray here on the show, SiriusXM and ESPN college football analyst, longtime quarterback. Aaron, you mentioned that there are games this weekend, and some of those games include Big 12 teams, and the Big 12 was wide open last year, so it kind of made me think of this. Whether it's, you know, a program this weekend or a Big 12 program or a program in a different conference, are there any teams out there, maybe under the radar, who you think have an opportunity to get themselves, play their way in to college football playoff talk or reality?
For SEC-wise, you know, if we want to go back to the big, I think Florida is there. You know, I think Billy Napier kind of got through hell a year ago with the, you know, you're going to get fired, especially after that blowout loss to Miami at home. I mean, that was rough. And then when DJ took over, I mean, going, 5-1, 6-1 as a starter, you know, looked good. Obviously had some big mistakes, but it goes back to kind of what I said earlier. I do believe he is the most gifted quarterback in America. He's got to take care of the football, and obviously he's got to stay healthy, something that has been a little bit of a question mark throughout the offseason, hasn't really got a lot of reps. But I think Billy has built a team that's going to be better on both sides, both lines of scrimmage, that's going to have an opportunity. I know they're ranked inside the top 15, but still to be a Florida team that has been very irrelevant for a few years, was on the brink of firing their coach, and now be in a spot where I think they could be, you know, contenders, not only make the playoffs, but maybe even a little bit more contenders within this conference if DJ is as good as I think he could be. A team that's a little bit down the list that I'm excited to see, and they got a lot of replay, so it's kind of hard to project them, is still Ole Miss. You know, I still love Lane Kiffin from a play calling standpoint. I think he's, you know, like I said earlier, one of the best two in the country. I know they lost a lot of guys from a year ago, a lot of guys that were NFL guys on both sides of the line of scrimmage. But you know, he's had so much success over the past few years. And, you know, watching Austin Simmons come in a year ago versus Georgia and have the success that he did, driving him down the field, scoring a touchdown. I mean, that game kind of felt like, you know, that all of a sudden, oh, my gosh, Georgia may get a 3-and-out. Maybe they get a turnover versus the young quarterback. They get good field position. And then it's kind of a, you know, Georgia steals momentum. But instead, bam, Austin Simmons drives him down the field. Touchdown, and then Ole Miss kind of took the game from there and obviously won it. So, you know, talking with Lane a year ago, very excited about him, you know, his skill set, his maturity, his understanding of the offense. I do think that he is due for a good season. So I know they're kind of ranked a little bit down, I think bottom of that top 25, but I just like Lane Kiffin so much as a play caller. And I think he can get it done with Austin Simmons in a way that, you know, maybe they have a chance to possibly squeak into the playoffs.
Aaron Murray, you brought up Sark and Lane Kiffin as, for you, the two most impressive minds in college football in terms of offensive thinking and play calling. And I just, my brain immediately went to, man, Saban had those guys on his staff at one point, and I was thinking about Nick, and I know him a little bit, and obviously he's not coaching, but he's been in the news and joking and talking about stuff. And it just got me thinking about Kalen DeBoer and that program. I know pressure is part of the deal and expectations are part of the deal, and multiple programs across America have that because every fan base wants to win. I was just back home in Iowa, and they think they're a college football playoff team. So I get how it works. Is Kalen DeBoer, though, under a different level of pressure and scrutiny this year, given where that program's at, its expectations, and the person he's following?
Oh, 100%. I think if you're at Alabama, and it's not like this is a 14 playoff anymore. It's a 12-team playoff. And to be in the Nick Saban era, to be in BCS championships, to be in the playoffs, to be winning championships, and then to possibly go two straight seasons without making a 12-team playoff, you know, when you have those facilities, when you have those players, because the roster's still, you know, probably top two, top three. I don't know if the blue chip ratings come out, but I mean they're gonna be somewhere in that top five for sure when it comes to just overall talent. And I still think Kalen DeBoer is a hell of a coach. You know, he's just like the guy from Indiana. He wins everywhere he goes. And, you know, won at Washington, you know, still, I think, 6-0 against Sarkisian and Kirby. You know, so he's being two of the best two of the best coaches in America over and over again. So I'm still a believer in Kalen DeBoer. You know, I think that I was a little bit frustrated last year knowing that, hey, man, I still think Jalen Milroe is a talented quarterback. He's got arm strength. He's an elite athlete. You know, now he's got a better play caller and a better offensive mind with Kalen DeBoer. He's going to get better as a quarterback. And you saw moments. I mean, obviously, you go back to the Georgia game, a couple other moments throughout the year where you saw how good Jalen could be, but you never got that consistency. And a lot had to do with just fundamentals, from my opinion. And I was a little bit shocked that Kalen could not have worked that out with him. So, you know, I think defense will be one of the best in the country, one of the best in the SEC. You know, offensively, they're going to have talent, and obviously you have the best receiver in the SEC. You know, it comes down to quarterback play. You know, can Ty Simpson get it done? Second year inside the system. You know, he's an athletic quarterback. He's got good arm, but he's just very unproven. And you know, that's the funny thing about the SEC in general this year is you have the three best rosters, Texas, Alabama, Georgia, and this goes back to what I talked about earlier, why it seems like it's so wide open this year. You know, the most talented rosters all have questions at quarterback. You know, how good will their quarterbacks be? Well, you know, the next tier you could say is like LSU, you know, South Carolina, Florida, you know, those tier two maybe roster wise, but they have the really good quarterbacks, you know, which makes this whole thing really equal and should be really fun for the SEC this season. But, you know, go back to your question about Alabama and DeBoer. Like, yeah, he should feel the pressure this year. I think it is somewhat unacceptable with everything that they have to have two straight seasons when you can't get into a 12-team playoff.
Aaron, we have a Big Ten out there, and this may not even be in the realm of what's actually likely, but there was sort of this idea of floating a 28-team playoff format. Yeah, I'm 100% with you. I like the 12. I'm curious what you think the right, given the realities of college football and just the how money is sort of the gravity of it creates the physics of all this decision making. So given sort of what's likely to happen, what do you want? What in 5 years, how do you want college football to decide its national champion?
Well, definitely not that model. I'm with you. I love the 12 team. Honestly, if I had to just if we wanted to just blow the whole thing up and start over again, in my perfect world, I would love to do relegation. I would love to kind of create some sort of tier system like European soccer. I think that would be so much fun. The competition and obviously the end of the season, teams trying to get in and out, trying to move up and move down, I think would be really, really exciting. Because college football towns remind me a lot of like European soccer and European soccer fans and their cities and, you know, their passion and their craziness and all that. So that's my dream. I know that will never happen, but I think that would be fun. But I think the 12 team was enough. I think that you know, on any given year, like I think this year is going to be a perfect example of it. As we continue to get further and further along with rev sharing, as we get further along with these players being able to obviously make a decent amount of money from the universities, you'll see talent continue to spread across college football. You know, mostly, you know, still kind of gravitating more towards the SEC and Big Ten. Obviously, you have the big brands in the ACC, but you know, I still think even on a really good year, maybe 10 to 12 teams have a legitimate shot of winning a national championship. You know, once you get past that, like I know everyone talks about March Madness and basketball, the Cinderella story is very way more difficult in football than it is basketball. Way more difficult. So like that would never really happen. Like a Boise State's never gonna really have an opportunity to win a national championship. They may make the playoffs, they may be competitive, they may have a Heisman Trophy contender. But to win, you know, 4 or 5 games, if you expand it, it's just not going to happen. So, you know, I think 12 is a great number. I wouldn't be mine if we get to 16. But I thought it made the season great. Like, I thought November last year was as exciting of a November as I've been a part of college football in my life, with just the who's going to get in, who's not going to get in. You know, those games meaning so much more than they have in years past. So I think we are in a good spot. I honestly would be perfectly content if we kept it the way it is at the moment. But yeah, 16 would kind of be my max. And you know, after that, I think it'd be just a disservice to college football and the regular season to go anywhere near, you know, what the Big Ten was talking about.
Aaron Murray, I know that the relegation idea will never happen. It is the best idea, I mean this, I've ever heard. I love it. In your model, if you know, you have a magic wand and you could create a relegation.
I'm on ChatGPT too. Like I had ChatGPT like put it together, put the tiers together.
So how many? How many per tier?
Yeah, season for me.
What's it look like? Is it 50? Is it like 50, 50, 50, 50? How would you do it?
I don't think it was that much. I mean, I have to scroll back in ChatGPT to figure out where my model was. But it was fun to kind of do it. If anyone has it, like, hey, make college football into European soccer with relegation, and you can play out the seasons. But I don't think it was. I think it was more in somewhere in the 20 to 30.
Awesome.
per league, and I just think it would force teams to kind of obviously spend money in order to go. I mean, look at Cal, for goodness sake. I don't know if you talked about this, but you know, Cal's having a conversation of like, do they even want to continue playing football? You know, there are teams in both conferences, the big power conferences, Big Ten and the SEC, where you just kind of sit back and say, like, you know, why do I as a fan, I just want the best product, you know, right? I mean, as an announcer, as a fan of college football, you know, the one thing that I thought is really exciting, at least with the expansion of both conferences, was more good games each and every week. And I do hope we get to a point where, you know, we add a 9th SEC game. I hope we get crossover games where, you know, you get an SEC Big Ten, you know, kind of similar to what college basketball does, make a weekend of it. Like, I want more big time games every single weekend. So if you can say that, hey, in the Champions League, you have the best 20 to 25 teams playing each other week in and week out, guess what? That's great football. And then the tier two, those players and fans and teams need to get better because they have that carrot dangling in front of them that I want to get to the Champions League. So, you know, I think it does create a lot of excitement within the tiers and moving up. Obviously, there's the big money issue of, you know, when you get to lower tiers, you know, how to program survive. I get that's why we'll never get to that because of the money. But I do think it would be pretty awesome if we could play it out.
You know what? Dare to dream. You have an ally in this radio host, Aaron Murray. I love that idea so much.
Can we get NCAA football, the video games, to allow that somehow and just have people play it for a year, you know, in a tier system?
That would get people on board.
What would be fun?
That's a great idea. Because then 12-year-olds would be into it in 5 or 6 years, right? They would understand why that. All right, I'm down. I don't know anyone who works at EA Sports, but I drive by that building every day. So I'll see if I can, like, get a badge and get in there. Aaron Murray, thank you. This was great, dude. I would love to have you on whenever you have time this season.
Appreciate it, man. Have a great week and happy football season.
You too, brother. Aaron Murray on the show, SiriusXM and ESPN college football analyst, longtime quarterback at Georgia, played for Chiefs, Cardinals, Eagles, Rams, a bunch of NFL teams. That was great. Ryan, you're a college football sicko. I can understand the relegation thing in a way that I didn't 5 years ago before I started watching soccer. So I get it. If you're Missouri and Penn State and you're playing a game to not be eliminated, that is going to feel like a national championship game. And conversely, if you're Iowa and Kansas and you're playing a game in the second tier to try to get up to the main tier, would you be here for that if that happened?
I would. I'm intrigued because, you know, one of the things people like, bowl games. That is, like, the last place game is essentially a bowl game. Like, in this example, in this crazy, never going to happen scenario where Missouri and Penn State are, let's say, in the Champions League, but the bottom two teams, winner stays, loser goes, put in the Pop-Tarts bowl, and there we go. People are watching.
The way that it works in soccer is you have 20 teams, right, per division. And the top three teams go up and the bottom three go down. And often, so in college football, what you probably have is the two worst teams would go down, and then the third and fourth worst team would play each other to see who goes down. And then the same thing happens on the other side where you would, and this is the soccer model, the top two teams go up, and then 3 to 7 play a tournament, a four-team tournament to who goes up. And the pressure, I don't even watch second-tier soccer, but I watch those games because the pressure is palpable. It is so stressful to watch some random Spanish or English teams playing to try to get, and then there's more money and you get better recruits. It would be amazing.
Imagine like Iowa-Baylor in Iowa in like middle December, winner goes to the Champions League. Like, I think people would watch, people would go.
People would be weeping when they lost or when they won. James Franklin will be throwing chairs when he got relegated to the third division.
I mean, wow. We're just going way down.
We went deep. We went deep in the rabbit hole. All right, we went long because Aaron Murray was really, really good, but we have a great buy or sell with a listener-influenced question coming up after a quick break here on Rider Than You.
You're listening to the Rider Than You podcast. Welcome back to Writer Than You.
These cheap you-know-whats. That's when you would be swearing, but I can't because it's radio and I respect you and I respect the government and I don't want to get in trouble and I don't want to lose my job. These cheap you-know-whats won't pay him the money he's worth.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
Welcome back into the show. What is this song? What is this rejoin? What is this magic? It's Writer Than You, and it's time for Buy or Sell.
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Writer Than You.
All right, so my ex, I'm going to jump in here. My ex mentioned instant messages are open, so a lot of listeners will get in there, and I'll try to respond sometimes. And Titus McClendon and I go back and forth a lot. Titus, what's up, bro? Thanks for listening. And I just wanted to sort of frame this for you and then give you a buy or sell question, Ryan Hickey. He wrote me after I said something last hour, with a straight face, you would start Fields over Rodgers? That's actually insane. And I responded, I honestly think that he, Aaron Rodgers, is a cancer on a team, and I don't think the juice is worth the squeeze anymore. Now, what I didn't write, but I do recognize, is that if you're wrong about Aaron Rodgers, the magnitude of your error is much higher. If you're wrong about Justin Fields, if you don't believe in him and he works out like I think he can, maybe the Jets are 10-7, right? Lose a playoff game, things go really, really well. If you're wrong about Aaron Rodgers and things work out, maybe the Steelers are in the AFC Championship game or beyond, right? If he's really, really good. But I think Aaron Rodgers is a cancer on a team, that he's not as good as he used to be, that he's not good enough, that there's a track record of failure. Buy or sell, you're with me on this particular Rodgers debate.
Buy.
Yeah, I get Titus and people that have the other view. I just don't think it's crazy to think that Aaron Rodgers is now a problem.
41 years old.
Right.
New team, not mobile.
I
would take the chance with the Fields every day.
Here's my analogy that Lori thinks is sexist, my wife, and I don't think it is sexist, and it can apply to a man or woman. I'm just going to use it my way. If you have a beautiful, incredibly attractive 25-year-old woman, she is the hottest woman that's ever walked the face of the earth, and she's awful to you, but you date her because there are certain benefits to date, right? That becomes less true when she's 50. It just does, right? Her personality, problematically, is kind of worth dealing with when she's a certain age. Or a guy, or me, right? I'm not what I was when I was 25. That's Aaron Rodgers. I understand the appeal when he was younger. Appeal's gone. It's not worth it.
Look at Deshaun Watson. Browns had no problem trading for him. And now a few years later, that appeal is gone.
Let me sell that Lori saying that's sexist, because
sell.
I'm supposed to pretend people aren't attractive. There are attractive people in the world.
And some of them are awful. That people date because of looks only?
Right. Oh, my God. There's nothing that I love more than watching an interview with some famous actress or hot person who's like, I just really, personality is what does it? No, it doesn't. Because I have a great personality, and you weren't dating me 15, 20 years ago. I'm hilarious sometimes.
Once in a blue moon, but let me tell you, that one time is great.
But I also look like me, so that's what got me.
If you're Ryan Gosling, once in a blue moon, I mean, you're the greatest person on earth.
There's a great Between Two Ferns where Zach Galifianakis, whatever his name is, says to Brad Pitt, you're so good looking, it took me a long time to realize you're a terrible actor when you're on screen.
Bye.
All right. We are way behind, but we're having fun.
We are. Let's actually start where you and Aaron Murray left off in your conversation. We won't go to relegation per se, but like you mentioned with Aaron, Big Ten this week floated out a 28-team college football playoff idea. Again, as a reminder, part of the reason why this idea is floated out there is because after this upcoming season, there is no current playoff format that is set for 2026 or beyond. Buy or sell, Bill. The 12-team college football playoff with straight seeding that we will have this year is the best realistic playoff format for college football.
Straight seeding in the sense that it doesn't have last year's silly model where lesser teams were guaranteed higher seeds.
Right. The top four teams of the bye are the best four teams in the country.
Yeah. The committee gets to select. I'm going to reluctantly buy because I do worry that if you win the Big 12 and you're a great team, but maybe there's a close call with you and in Alabama that's not as good, you're always going to lose out because of the biases out there. But I'll do it. I'm going to get real meta here. Are you ready? And there's no wrong answer. Buy or sell, you want to go to no context buy or sell for the rest of the segment.
Oh, okay.
Buy.
But it's your, okay. There's no, I'm not trying to push you. I just thought about it because of time.
All right, let's do it.
It's time for no context buy or sell.
This will be fun. Arch Manning, buy or sell, Bill. Arch Manning should enter the 2026 draft if one of these three teams are holding the number one overall pick.
Luckily, I have the script. So, dear listener, it's Saints, Browns, Giants. I mean, my answer is sell.
Sell.
It could be any team. I don't think you should go. I think it's a mistake, and I discussed that at the start of the show.
What if it was Russian roulette, and instead of the draft order being based on record, it was based on just a random draw?
I was just thinking, what if it was the Chiefs, and you 49ers. Just stay with Mahomes and get traded? Yeah, the Chiefs are a bad example. The Chiefs, if Mahomes got traded, you know, to Chicago for Caleb Williams because of you and the Caleb Williams. I forgot to trade it. It's a shot at Ryan Hickey. Don't worry about it. Yeah, maybe that would change things. But maybe not. Trey Lance didn't succeed.
That is true. Can I ask for a
reprieve? By the way, I got a new nickname for Trey Lance. Buy or sell it. Sir Lancenot.
Oh.
Buy.
I wish I thought of that years ago.
That is think it's almost outdated at this point because no one even knows where he's playing. I bet you he's playing for the Chargers. That's probably brand new news to a lot of people.
Yes. And, oh, man, including to probably Jim Harbaugh.
All right, who's this guy starting? Five? Lance?
He probably looks at him the way that Bill O'Brien looked at you when you dropped that pass.
With disdain, disgust.
Oh, that's sad.
Let's get this over with. I'm going to ask, possibly, it's your segment, so you make the call here, if we can get out of no context by ourselves so I can provide some necessary context for this specific question.
It's not how it works, but let's do it. Let's get crazy.
Let's get crazy, because Von Miller got crazy, Bill.
Okay.
He was on the Glory Days podcast with Johnny Manziel and said this recently.
You know, obviously, it's going to be a debate between Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, who's the best. You know, for me, it'll always be Peyton Manning. He changed the quarterback position from checky-checky. You know this more than me. You're the quarterback. From checky-checky, change the play, come on, check the play, change the play again, go over top. He wasn't scrambling or doing none of that stuff. He did it all with his arm, and it was beautiful, man.
So, by yourself, we know how you feel about the best of all time, but I'm going to kind of get a workaround here. By yourself, you're okay with saying Peyton Manning is the Steph Curry of quarterbacks?
Ooh, that's a great question. I'll buy, and here's why.
Buy!
Had Peyton Manning closed out a few more Super Bowls and been more successful, he could have pushed to be the GOAT. And Steph Curry can still do that, but probably won't.
I was thinking more change in the game. Like, I think
I know what you were thinking, but that too, that's part of the mix. Buy or sell, we need to get a new bit of imaging, which is what you hear, listener, that goes, it's now time for sort of no context, almost, buy or sell.
Buy!
Okay.
We'll go back to...
It's time for no context, buy or sell.
Have you ever seen the movie Speed with Keanu Reeves?
No.
The bus can't go lower than 4 miles per hour, blows up. That is what we're doing right now. The bus is just out. The brakes are done. Please continue.
We're getting back on the tracks here. Buy or sell. Anthony Richardson has a right to feel screwed.
Sell.
Sell.
Be better.
Okay, can I also provide some context for this?
Oh, my
next
God!
Question?
Why?
Fine. You want it? You got it. Buy or sell. This pick is binding. There it
right.
is.
That's part of the magic.
What are we talking about? Is it real life? Is it
all
fake?
Right, give me the context. Give me the context.
In a fantasy football draft, they're like one of those live drafts that had a big board, stickers, all the names on it. The guy in one draft had a first overall pick. He wanted to pick Bijan Robinson. He mistakenly picked the sticker that said Brian Robinson Jr., walked up to the board and placed the sticker on the board and only realized after his friend said, bro, that's not Bijan Robinson.
In a live draft. Oh.
So, buy or sell.
Right? Was he drunk?
I don't know. I could not
Vegas?
Tell you.
I don't know either.
It was outside just in a backyard.
Okay, never mind.
So, buy or sell. He picked Brian Robinson Jr., meaning pick Bijan. Pick his buy.
Buy. Was it binding?
We don't have the outcome. I haven't seen the outcome, at least. It should be. You pick. If you're dumb enough to not read a name, it's on you.
One year I was in a fantasy baseball league, and the guy that was after me was a real jerk. I didn't like him. He didn't like me either. I was new to it. I was 22. I was in Arkansas. And he skipped my... We were at the point, there was a bid draft where everyone had a dollar left, and he had sort of scouted this no-name Cardinal named Albert Pujols. He goes, Albert Pujols! And I go, oh, it was my turn. You skipped me. I go, Albert Pujols. And I won the league that year, and he had me kicked out afterwards for some garbage reason. Buy or sell, that's the greatest fantasy jerk move of all time.
Buy.
Albert Pujols! Oh, it's my go, man. I'm going to take Albert Pujols. Thank you. Great little memory. We're off the tracks.
We're off the tracks, and we're going to continue off the tracks as we are, again, as a reminder,
are we doing
no context.
Context or no context? What are you doing here?
Or you want no context. We're going to do no context.
Okay, let's see.
Buy or sell. You are intrigued by geographic realignment. Actually, that's not as...
Buy. It works.
Buy.
I kind of am with baseball. Yeah, I'm kind of... It's interesting. Buy or sell, you'd be interested in baseball doing relegation.
Buy.
You mean the Iowa Cubs get promoted?
I'm intrigued. I think it's interesting. Add a little juice. Force some
now
teams
playing
to...
the Yankees, the Mud Hens. I think it'd be interesting.
In their 2,000-seat stadium in like the middle of Delaware. It'd be fun.
Right.
That'd be very fun. And buy or sell. This is an acceptable move.
Sell. Every move we've made is unacceptable. All right. You can read it.
Thank you. The Cubs, your Cubs yesterday played doubleheader.
Yeah.
Game one of the doubleheader, there's a fan caught on the camera out in the bleachers working at the game. He had his laptop, even had one of those portable mouses. So he's doing something, at working remotely while at a Cubs game by herself. This is an acceptable move.
It is with me, bye.
Bye.
It may not be with his bosses when they see him on TV. But if he has permission or works for himself or it doesn't matter, yeah.
If you're working remotely, is there a rule saying you can't work at a baseball game if you're getting work done?
Well, let me tell you a story. When I worked for FoxSports.com as a national columnist, I think I've mentioned this, there was a stretch there where they needed me to cover UFC for 6 or 7 months. And I didn't want to move to Vegas, but I was in Vegas all the time doing that. And I would be there for 5 or 6 or 7 days in a row. And I would often go to the poker room and play live No Limit Hold'em poker. And while I wasn't in hands, I would have my laptop and I would write columns and file them, be edited. And people would, what are you doing? Like, shh, quiet, I'm working. Buy or sell, that was okay.
Bye.
I could do it in my room, or I could just do it with my headphones on, and, I have Ace King suited. I'm going to close this laptop for a minute, and I'm going to bed. And then go back to my, I don't mind.
The casino allowed that. I figured that they'd be like a little nervous of, cheating or something
Couldn't
going on.
Couldn't be on the table.
Okay.
But I had it on my lap. I wrote some good stuff, too. I was inspired.
3-7.
You're a terrible random guy. LeBron, you suck. I have tens. Are we done?
That's it.
We got through the
no context.
What's happening context buyers. Now it's time for what's happening buy or sell. Yeah. That was a good one.
I kind of like the context, no context. Arbitrary. Some questions yes, some questions no. We'll see what the hell happens.
What was happening there? I can I just go back to this Justin Fields thing? I don't think any of those guys are going to be successful that we talked about. But I do think Justin Fields is more likely to be than Aaron Rodgers. But I think Aaron Rodgers has a higher ceiling this year.
And I guess would you say lower floor than two? Fields is four. Could be a low. We've seen him play.
It can be low. The thing is, I think a lot of people are captivated by Aaron Rodgers' history and resume. He's slow, and not just slow in the sense that he can't scramble anymore, but that is obvious. His decision-making, I think, is slowed down. The speed of the game is quicker.
Even though his numbers were okay, the Jets' offense last year was bad. Bad.
Yes. He reminds me now of Carl Anthony Towns. I know that you're good on the box score, but you are not an effective player for your team. That's hard to do in the NFL.
I like that combo. That's a good one.
Yeah. I should talk on the radio. It's time for You Did It By Yourself. All right. I want to talk a little quarterback worry. What quarterbacks are at risk of being the next Anthony Richardson, the next perhaps Aaron Rodgers? We're going to, sort of dive into that a little bit here. It's not a dishwasher analogy, so I did that well. After a sports flash from Gordon Damer.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Bill, it's been about 3 weeks since he requested a trade, and we have less than 3 weeks until the season opens up, and still nothing new with the contract situation with the Commanders and Terry McLaurin. A report today says the Niners, Vikings, and Jets are keeping an eye on the trade market for potential wide receivers. McLaurin continues to sit out training camp for the Commanders. Elsewhere, Miami has activated Darren Waller from the physically unable to perform list. So he will practice with the team for the first time since his trade to Miami following his retirement. Legarius Sneed activated off the PUP list for Tennessee. He last played week 5 of last season, missed the rest because of a quad strain. Vlad Guerrero remains out of the lineup for the Blue Jays, that due to hamstring inflammation. Jays will face off against the Pirates, finale of their series in Pittsburgh this afternoon. First pitch there just after 12:30 Eastern time. Also, the Mariners' 4-game losing streak has dropped them into a tie for the final 2 wild card spots in the American League. Seattle will try to get off the schneid today. They'll take on the Phillies. First pitch there, 1:05 Eastern time. I'm Gordon Damer.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you. Thank you for listening, hanging out, chilling with us here on the show. That was a wacky buy or sell right there is what that was, my friend. Ryan Hickey.
And now looking back, did you like it?
I did.
Would you do it again?
Maybe not. Maybe though.
Okay.
I mean, it was an experience for sure. I was thinking yesterday about quarterbacks who are have the potential to basically do the anti-Sam Darnold. Maybe even more than Anthony Richardson, because he never succeeded, right? His failure is more localized than it is nationalized. He's a failure in Indianapolis, and everyone else, I think, is like, okay, yeah, that kind of tracks. The anti-Baker Mayfield. Unfortunately, maybe Justin Fields is the comp for this, because Justin Fields has twice not made it at football teams. I think Caleb Williams is a really easy answer on this. I don't think it's going to go that way. I don't think Caleb Williams is going to be so bad that there's going to be any conversation he's not the starter. I think the year after. I think the worst case scenario to this season is, that didn't work, or there's worries about Ben Johnson. I don't think, maybe it's the Bears fan in me, but I think J.J. McCarthy's on the list. I think Caleb Williams is on the list of people that could absolutely fail and could absolutely be in a position where they're not a success anymore. I don't know that Daniel Jones goes on this list, because I don't think anyone considers Daniel Jones a success, even if he did win the starting job. Do you?
No, I agree. I like what David in L.A. said before. It's like the reaction he's taking six is, whoa, really? Right. It wasn't like, oh, man, there's so much expectation. It was like, are the Giants sure? So, yeah, if you have, it's more of a shock and like, oh, I don't like that. You can't, I don't think, have those expectations.
I think Aaron Rodgers is on this list. I don't think it'll be a massive surprise, but I think there's a world where he is definitively considered washed by week 4 or 5. Is there anybody else that comes to mind for you? Like, is Matthew Stafford at risk of this, given some of the injury questions that have been out there and his age? Is there a world where Stafford is so bad this year that the Rams clearly have to come up with another solution and it's time for him to retire?
Yeah, I mean, they reportedly at least were open to trading him last offseason.
So didn't want to go.
Right. He played well down the stretch, and they're the closest team to the Eagles the last like 6 weeks of the season.
Let me give you a crazy one.
Oh, let's get nuts.
And I'm not rooting for this, but he has a history of being real up and real down, and he lost his coordinator. Could Jared Goff be on this list? Is it just in the realm of can I put him on the list?
It would have to be. I think he's built up enough goodwill where even if it's bad, I think he's back in 2026.
Their standards are Super Bowl. And so if he plays poorly and they go 8-9 or 7-10.
I think I think the OC would be maybe fired before. I think they would give Jared Goff, without Ben Johnson, one more year.
What if Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams win 12 games and Caleb Williams is amazing and everyone goes, oh, Jared Goff isn't that good. He was just a Ben Johnson creation.
I think they would still give him one more year. I think there would be patience.
Trevor Lawrence? Are we at that point yet? Tua for sure, right? Tua's got to be on this list.
Should have been on the list 3 years ago.
I mean, I don't think Trevor will be on the list because I think his salary they paid him and the expectations that he has are always going to get people say, he can figure it out.
It's early.
Okay.
What about Michael Penix Jr.? Put a lot of eggs in his basket.
Wow. Yeah.
They benched Kirk Cousins for him. You could even argue too late by this point, but they're putting a guy they gave a lot of money to as the most expensive backup maybe ever.
What have you done for me lately?
Right. We've seen teams move off very quickly.
What about Josh Allen? He gets traded for Caleb Williams. Just kidding. That's a little Ryan Hickey joke right there.
With some of these quarterbacks, like what about Kyler Murray? Like, what point do you say?
I just think he's bleh.
I agree, but like, at what point do you be like, you know what? We want better than bleh.
Well, here's the thing, though. This brings me to my other guy, maybe the last guy on this list. Dak Prescott could be on the list, but they gave him so much money, just like they gave Kyler Murray so much money, that what are you going to do? Is anyone trading happily and excitedly for Kyler Murray? I don't think so.
Mm-mm. I agree.
And so you're locked in. Last year, Kyler Murray completed 69% of his passes, threw 21 touchdowns, and had 11 interceptions, was 8-9. 7.1 yards per average completion. I mean, he's just a guy, you know? He's not bad. He's not bad enough for them to make a change and not good enough for them to win.
It's kind of a tough spot to, like, I feel like it's a lot of these guys. Like, even, like, with Trevor Lawrence, too, like, you look at the money, like, I'm not sure, like, that's another thing.
Locked in, right? Who would you rather have for the next 5 years, Trevor Lawrence or Kyler Murray? I automatically go Trevor Lawrence.
Same.
I mean, and he's not very good.
And you're catching a ghost and hoping it eventually works out?
That's it, yeah.
But, yeah, I'd still rather take that potential.
It'd be better to have Daniel Jones as your starting quarterback and just fail and be able to reset than have one of these two. I'd rather have Daniel Jones as my quarterback, here's my hot take of the day, than have Dak Prescott or Kyler Murray or Trevor Lawrence. Because you're going to be stuck in mediocrity at best year after year after year.
When you include his contract and the freedom you have, yes, you're right. Because you're right. Colts can break free, nothing to hold you back, and you can just go on your merry way and try to find the guy next year. Those teams can.
Trevor Lawrence last year, remember, he was hurt. He didn't play the whole year. Trevor Lawrence, 11 touchdowns, 7 picks, 2-8, completed 60.6% of his passes.
Not great.
That is awful.
Not great.
Somewhere Urban Meyer is laughing at what he did. Or maybe he's just making a face. That was a fun show. Thank you to Aaron Murray. Thank you to Ryan Hickey. And thank you for listening. We appreciate you. I'm Bill Ryder. See you back here tomorrow on Ryder Than You.